Welcome to the 2019 Borough Candidate Forum. Today we'll be hearing from the candidates for Borough Mayor, Sandra Katelnikoff-Lester and Bill Roberts. We're your hosts. I'm Iris Samuels from the Kodiak Daily Mirror.
And I'm Kavitha George from KMXT. Today's forum will be broken into three parts. Candidates will have 30 seconds to give an opening statement, and then we'll move into questions. Each candidate will have 2 minutes to respond to the question, and then we'll give the other candidate an opportunity for a 30-second follow-up response. Finally, each candidate will have 2 minutes at the end to give a closing statement. Pam will be timing each of the segments. Going in alphabetical order, we'll start with Sandra. Please give us your opening statement.
This will be very brief. I'd just like to say thank you for hosting this. I do appreciate having this opportunity. I'd like to apologize. I will not be able to attend your forum in person that you're hosting. I'll be representing the Pioneers, the Kodiak Pioneers in Valdez for our annual convention. I'd like to thank Mr. Roberts for being here, and it's very nice to meet you. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Bill, please give us your opening statement.
Yes, I'm Bill Roberts. I'm running for borough mayor because I feel that we have to give back to our community, and this is a good chance for me to give back to my community. And really what I think drove me to this is the apathy that I'm seeing, people not wanting to run for office, and more important, people not getting out to vote. So I'd like to take this chance to tell everybody, get out, please vote. It is very important. We need more than 15 to 25% voting. Thank you.
Thank you. Moving ahead to questions.
This question comes to us from Ben Milstein from Kodiak Island Brewing. What is your vision for the borough? Bill, could you start?
What is the vision?
Your vision for the borough.
My vision for the borough, for the borough government, is to try to keep a viable community. And unfortunately, with the the funding cuts from the state level, we are going to be faced with a very big burden on how to pay for our bonds. And what I am trying to do is be able to balance paying those bonds, paying our necessary bills, and not gutting the government or gutting our school district. I think we need to have a school district that moves forward. I think we have to have a government that moves forward. And it's going to be very hard in view of what the state has done to us with funding on the bond issues.
Sandra, could you go ahead?
Yes, I would really like to see the Kodiakans become, in all the communities, become a little more self-sustaining. I think we rely too dependently on the state and federal government in taxes. And I believe that if we search and somebody asks a question about how to become self-sufficient, we can find answers working together to help our borough sustain the organizations that rely on taxes. So I'd like to move our borough towards a little more self-sustainment and less dependent on outside influence as far as what our community holds for services.
Thanks. And Bill, do you have a follow-up for that?
No, I believe that self-sustaining is very important. I think we do a pretty good job on it. But when we have a state that says we will pay 70% of your bonds and then pulls the cord at the last minute and you have a budget, $2.6 million, that's, you know, a couple of mills tax increase that we're going to have to pay. And I think, of course, we should look for other ways to tax ourselves, but I think there are none. Thank you.
Do you have a follow-up, Sandra?
Not at this time.
So our next question is related. What are your budget priorities for the borough? Sandra, you can begin.
I would think that in this time of change that we're going through, and especially with the Consolidation Committee now enacted, we really need to take a look at what is happening as far as the budget and not implement anything new, work with what we have, and move forward with the understanding that if the people choose, if the Consolidation Committee chooses to recommend consolidation, then we should take into account that our budget should not be changed in any way until this process is complete. We should just maintain, and so in the future, we will have to take a look one way or another at how to make the budget work for this island.
Bill?
Can you restate the question exactly?
Mm-hmm. What are your budget priorities for the borough?
The borough's budget priority has historically been schools. If you look at where most of our budget goes, it goes to help support our schools. Of course, state also supports our schools. As I said, we're looking at a budget deficit with the construction funds that we use not only to build the school, but the $10 million bond that we sold to fix schools. So when I look at a budget, I would like to see a budget for what we call R&R, which is basically money put aside to fix our own buildings so that 10 years down the road, we don't have to sell another bond. Unfortunately, in the past, the assemblies have always raided that fund first. And as a result, we have buildings that are falling apart. And again, we're going to have to fix them someday. So I would look at my budget priority as having R&R in the budget, keeping the schools well-funded, and trying not to gut the government to pay for those bonds.
Mm-hmm. Sandra, do you have a follow-up?
Yes, I believe that the educational system is highly important, and we really need to keep on top of that, but also we need to really prioritize, and school is a part of it, and it's a high priority, but there are other issues on the list to go along with schools.
Mm-hmm. And Bill, you brought up the need for borough infrastructure maintenance. So I'm curious, Sandra, what your thoughts are on infrastructure maintenance and how that should configure into the budget.
When you look at the borough and the infrastructure and you think about all the things that are going on, there are many different things. But I have to go back to say that in all reality, we look at the budget, we have things that are going to be maintained regardless. But you have to go back to, once again, the consolidation. Should the borough consolidate with the city, all of these things are going to change. So maintain the status quo and keep working, keep the infrastructure up and running, but until the Consolidation Committee has made a recommendation, we just need to work with what we've got.
Bill?
The infrastructure is falling apart, not just here in the borough, when you look at the borough building, but, you know, we have schools that are in need of repairs, and we sell the $10 million bonds. It is common across the country, unfortunately. I think we have to look at our infrastructure. I agree, if we consolidate, we're going to have more infrastructure to fix. But hopefully we'll also have when the Consolidation Committee looks at this, they'll also figure a way that we can take money from sales tax. If we become a first-class municipality, we can have a sales tax and we can have property tax, and we can pay for these things. Of course, again, we're talking taxes.
Sandra, do you have a follow-up?
Only that I must once again say that we do have to keep going with what we've got, especially outlined in the budget. with recognition that in the future, things may change drastically. Some things are going to stay the same, but then again, we're going to have to make some changes.
Mm-hmm. Bill, a response?
If we consolidate, definitely we're going to make some changes. And by the way, I've been pro-consolidation since the 80s, although the longer it drags on, the less I see it really happening. There are a lot of complicated things to consider, and infrastructure is going to be one of them. I don't think they're insurmountable, but a lot of times personalities get involved, and we just don't work together. Unfortunately, again, we go on what's going on around the country. People are not working together.
Thanks, Bill. As borough mayor, how will you balance the interests of residents on the road system with those in the villages? Bill, could you start?
As borough mayor, you don't really have a whole lot to say about balancing the road system and the rural areas, either the villages or people that live in Euganic Bay or other areas like that. I think the biggest thing we do with the money that we get from taxes is pay for schools, and I think it's important that we support the schools equally across the board and make sure that everyone has the ability to have a good education. The borough doesn't have a whole lot of powers that they can use to help the rural communities other than to be their advocates. And I know from my experience working for the borough that in one case, Larson Bay mayor and some of their committee members there came asking for some help from the borough with a problem they're having, and the borough was able to give them the help or try to give them the help, but we don't have the power to go out there, reach out and grab somebody and say, you have to do it this way. And if you listen to recent meetings, the boroughs talk about enforcing code and not enforcing code. If we're not going to enforce code, we're not going to be helping anybody, unfortunately.
Sandra, your response?
Would you repeat the question, please?
Sure. As borough mayor, how will you balance the interests of residents on the road system with those in the villages?
Well, I think being a part of the road system and being a part of a rural village in the borough is consistently the same thing. So they should receive the same type of support that you give to one, you should give to the other. They're the same thing. They're part of the borough. They're people that live outside the boundaries of Kodiak City. So I would definitely be in tune to that as I am already, and I would give support to not only the cities on the island who are in the borough, but also I believe that there is not enough contact with the tribes as a government. They should be recognized for the tribal governments they are, and working with them, I think we would be able to achieve a lot more in those rural communities, supporting them, both the tribe and the city and the communities along the road system.
Bill, your follow-up?
Yeah, that's a good point, and I think it did happen, if I am correct, in the Anton Larson Bay when Port Lions got together with the borough. Port Lions was able to bring in some native monies through the BIA and to help with that. So it does happen out there, and Sandy is 100% right. It should be explored even further, because I think there's a lot of opportunities out there where we can partner with the native corporations and the native tribes, which will access money other than what we can generate as a borough.
And Sandra, your follow-up?
I totally agree with Bill that, you know, there's untapped potential out there for the borough to work with the tribes and the cities. One of the things that people do need to realize, though, is that there is a difference between a tribal government and the tribal corporations that we have in every community. Those are two different things. And so when we work with the community, we're working with the tribe. but we can still call on the organizations for help.
Our next question relates to Kodiak's economy. The cost of living in Kodiak is amongst the highest in Alaska. What do you think the borough can do to make living in Kodiak more affordable, Bill?
Create jobs, but the borough can't create jobs. I don't know that there's much that the borough can do to lower the cost of living. We can't import food cheaper. We can't import fuel cheaper. We can't take over for the companies that are doing it. The city of Kodiak actually runs a lot of the infrastructure that we think of as borough. Once you step outside the borough, the sewer and water and that. I don't know what the borough can do. It's a remote island community, and it's going to be expensive to live here. Now, of course, if you were had my job for the last 8 years, you would have a lot of people coming in telling you that if you would lower taxes, we could stay here. Well, we have to pay for what we have. Taxes here are not horrendous. I'm not going to tell you I'm a proponent of raising taxes. Come around April 15th, you'll know what I think about taxes. But I don't think the borough can do really much to lower the cost of living in Kodiak. We had meetings about affordable housing. Contractor says they couldn't build them. There's only one way to build affordable housing, and it's true in all of Alaska and probably most of the country. And you saw that in Mill Bay Road, and you're seeing it in Sheraton. And that is using a federal program called low-income housing tax credits, where you can build a building and offer a number of units at a reasonable rate, reasonable being less than market rate. But other than encouraging that, and the borough can encourage that by offering a tax break to LIHTC properties, that's about the only thing I can think of.
Sandra?
When I think about that, I think about encouraging business, small business, into our communities. How can we do that? How can we entice people to start providing for each other through small business? I think about tax collection is, you know, that's what we do to provide the service, but how do we entice the businesses into our community so that we can not make taxes higher, but so that we can collect more taxes? The more businesses we have, the more we can collect. How can we entice the tourism industry to grow? How can we entice people to create small business here, maybe to sell to the tourists? How can we entice people to become more proactive so that we can not raise taxes, but find a way to collect more taxes?
Bill, a follow-up?
Yeah, enticing new business is ideal. And one of the ways you can entice new business is to offer tax breaks. Unfortunately, all tax breaks are controlled by the state statutes. We could offer some tax breaks on personal property for small businesses. We do. We have a $20,000 tax break for personal property equipment. However, how we as a borough can entice it, I don't know, other than invest in the Visitors Bureau or something like that.
Sandra?
I think there are opportunities for us to take a look at what's out there in our world now and find ways to ask them if they would be interested in moving to Kodiak Island, Alaska. We don't have answers until we ask questions.
The next question is about the different sectors of Kodiak's economy. How do you plan to balance the interests of fisheries and other sectors of the economy here? Bill, would you like to start?
I don't know how we balance the sectors. We support the fisheries every way we can with whatever letters we write to the people in power who set the rules and regulations. I think the fisheries are definitely our biggest concern as a industry. The Coast Guard base, you could look at as an industry, that would be one of our second. And then the rocket launch facility out there is building its workload, and hopefully it's going to become a big item in our economy. How do we balance it? We support the fisheries as much as we can. We support the rocket launches as much as we can while still balancing the environmental concerns of many of our citizens. The Coast Guard base, we encourage the Coast Guard base to try to bring in a new ship. They're talking about bringing in one of their new ships. But I don't see a whole lot of infrastructure being built for that ship, so I don't know that that's ever going to be a reality. We could encourage at one time, natives of Kodiak were talking about building infrastructure for the Coast Guard. Out the road right by the Coast Guard base, they own property out there, and trying to get a leg up in building housing for Coast Guard. And also they were going to open it to the general public if they had to fill the housing. There were a lot of problems with that, and it kind of died on the vine. I haven't heard anything about that. Part of it was the Coast Guard can't deal directly with a private corporation. It has to deal with the municipalities, so it needed an in-between.
Thanks, Bill. Sandra?
Repeat the question, please. I was listening to Bill Sard.
Yep. How do you plan to balance the interests of fisheries and other sectors of Kodiak's economy?
Fisheries is one of the major resources here on the island and in this borough. I think that I don't know that there's much more that can be done other than to be very supportive, to be an advocate for the fisheries. Like Bill said, the Coast Guard is here, the launch is here, but I believe that we really need to take a look at what the borough has available as far as expanding our population, getting people to stay, opening up maybe lands for development. I don't have the right answer for this question, but it's something that I will definitely look into.
Bill, do you have a follow-up?
No, I agree with Sandy. We have to support the fisheries. We have to remember that there are various gear types out there, and some of them don't get along with each other. We have to look at ways to try to reconcile that, because all of the fisheries are very important to us. And I agree with Sandy, we can just have to be their advocate.
Sandra?
One of the concerns I have is for the future, and I don't hear it mentioned very much anymore, but one of the things that we really need to take a look at when it comes to the fisheries is how long are we going to have it in all reality. When we think of the radioactive wastewater that's flowing up into Alaska waters from Japan, is that something that we should be concerned about? Who's watching this? You know, who's making sure that it's not affecting us?
Our next question is, how do you think the borough can support small business development in Kodiak, as well as attracting new businesses to Kodiak? Sandra, would you like to start?
We can, like I stated earlier, take a look at borough lands and what's available. Maybe open up some different areas for, like, gas stations out the road. We drive out the road all the time, but we got to make sure that we have enough gas to get out there and back, because there's nothing in between. Like when we go to Passaic Shack or Fossil Beach, try to encourage people to open up small businesses within the road system and develop maybe some housing I see that there's a development going up at Cliff Point, or I think it's Cliff Point. Yeah. And right now they're in the phase of just offering the land, which is, you know, it's excellent. I'm all for that. I think that we need to be able to encourage growth on our island.
And Bill?
Encourage small businesses. Like I said, the borough does offer, when you're talking mom-and-pop type businesses, a tax break up to $20,000 for personal property tax. Most small businesses probably don't own the land they start on. The difference would be the gas stations that Sandy was talking about. The problem is you have to have enough customers to make it worthwhile. Cliff Point, that is a wonderful example of someone trying to develop something new in Kodiak. Cliff Point, they're actually constructing at this point two homes to show, and they're trying to bring in people who want to live here periodically to come here for a month or two or even less, people with a lot of money, and that's a totally different market than anyone else has ever targeted. So that's a positive thing. How do we support that? We really don't have much to say in the borough other than they went through the platting process, they've gone through the permitting process, and they are now building their homes. Excuse me.
Do you have a follow-up?
I think that although we may not have, you know, a say, I think we do have a voice of encouragement. I think we do have the ability to reach out and go, look at us, come live in Kodiak.
Bill?
That's a good point, to reach out with advertisements. I know that the Chamber of Commerce and Discover Kodiak go to shows and that, and they do try to put us forth in a good light to bring people here, encouraging things like sports fisheries, sports hunting to a certain extent will bring some people here. But we need to be able to bring people here on a more regular basis.
Our next question also comes to us from Ben Milstein at Kodiak Island Brewing. How do you weigh the need for staff and members of the assembly to get along and have a good working relationship and rapport with the tension of disagreement and change? Phil, would you like to start?
It's one of my pet peeves. I have seen assembly members in the past be extremely rude and nasty to staff. Staff is there trying to do their job. They are all professionals. People have a dim view of people who work for the government because they all think they're lazy. That is not the case. I think the borough assembly needs to have a change in its zeitgeist on how it looks at staff. Staff is there to help. They can be your biggest friend. Now, we're going into a really tight budget, and I know that's going to mean that they're going to want to cut a lot of staff. I think they need to listen to staff. I think they need to listen to their manager. I think they need to be prudent in what they cut, and just don't cut everything because they're of the same opinion as some people that if you work for the government, you're lazy. That is not the case. I worked for the government. I am not lazy. I didn't see a whole lot of lazy people in all my years working with or for or around the government. So how do you change that? Well, as mayor, the only thing I can say is you run the meeting. And if somebody's out of order, you call them. And if they refuse to get in order because they feel that their freedom of speech allows them to be abusive, you have to make sure that they know that's not the case.
Sandra, your response?
Well, understandably, the borough staff are feeling a crunch right now, and feeling the crunch creates a lot of animosity. One thing leads to another, and then the next thing you know, that the staff is not being as polite as they can to the people in the community. One of the things that I've always heard about our borough, unfortunately, is that the assembly and the employees don't listen to the people. It creates a lot of animosity. What do we need to do to correct that? The first thing you do in correcting anything is recognizing that the problem exists. When the problem exists, then you say, what do you do? How can you make it better? I'm not saying that we're going to fix it, but I am saying that should I become mayor, I will absolutely address the situation. The employees need to be treated with respect, and in turn, the people need to be treated with respect, and we should really try harder to work together without this animosity. But the reality is, unless you address it, people say it all the time, but unless you address it, unless you say, you know, be nice, people aren't going to be nice if they have hard feelings. But you can work through hard feelings and still be nice and get your point across. And it's an issue that I think has been within our borough government for many years, and I think it's time to address it.
Bill, do you have a follow-up?
Yeah, I think the key word there that Sandy was using is respect. We all need to have respect for each other. In my years, my last 8 years where I worked as the assessor, I felt that staff, for the most part, was respectful of the public. I know there are instances where that wasn't the case, perhaps, but for the most part, staff does a pretty good job of trying to be respectful. I think my biggest problem is the disrespect that I see given from the elected to the staff.
And Sandra, any follow-up?
Any instance of disrespect to either employees or publics it can cause an enormous hole in our community, and I would hope to see that we really, really work on this issue in the future.
Our next question comes about the consolidation process. So what are your thoughts on the consolidation process? What are the greatest hurdles to achieving consolidation, and how do you think those can be overcome? Bill, would you like to start?
Well, I think from past experience, from the votes that happened in the 80s and past discussions about consolidation, we have some personality problems. No, that's not true. It's not personality. We have some of the two governments, one of the two governments, mainly the city, does not want to be consolidated. That, to me, is what I believe is the general feeling of the city. So we have to convince the city that this is a benefit for everybody. I think in the beginning, it sounded like the borough wanted to take over the city. Consolidation, it's going to be a totally different animal. Whatever we come out with in the end, it's not going to be a borough and we're just going to make the city go away. The other problems I see with consolidation, as I mentioned it earlier, we are going to combine a lot of infrastructure. And some of that infrastructure is not in such great shape. The city did just rebuild the Matson Dock down there with a lot of federal money, but there's still a lot of work that has to be done in the harbor. There's still a lot of work that has to be done in sewer and water. And if you consolidate, you're going to want to expand sewer and water to more road residents and all that. So those are all things we're going to have to look at. How are we going to fund that? How are we going to get the entities to agree in the first place that this is a good idea for the people? I personally think consolidation is probably a good idea, but it has to be, everybody has to buy into it. The city has to buy into it. The borough has to buy into it. And I think the city right now and in the past has felt it's being pressured.
Sandra, your response?
In speaking with Mayor Rohr about this, we spoke about what does that really mean, and it really means taking these two different governments and making them one brand new entity. There's a lot of putting things together in order to provide services at a lower cost. Well, you know, I don't know that they're going to come up with the numbers that they need to make consolidation worth it. So that's something that they're trying to figure out right now. I wasn't here at home when consolidation was first brought up, but I think that it's something that the committee is working on right now, and something that we just need to let them do the job and see if it's going to benefit the borough residents. If it's not, well, what was the reason for consolidation in the first place? It was a way for some of the residents to get more service. So if consolidation doesn't work, what are the options? Could the city possibly look at annexation? And would the borough allow the road system to become a part of the city without consolidation? There's many questions that need to be answered. And at this point in time, it's just something that you need to really let the committee do their job and look at the numbers and see what's going to happen from there.
Bill, do you have a follow-up?
Yeah, I think we do need to let the committee do its job, and we need to look at one of the jobs it's going to have to do is what services are we going to offer. Right now, the city has a paid fire department and a paid police department. Are we going to expand that? If we consolidate the whole borough, are we going to expand it just to the road system and make it a service district? I mean, there are a lot of very complicated problems that have to be looked at. And if the committee can come up with these answers, we might actually see consolidation happen.
Sandra, any follow-up?
I'm willing to just sit and wait and find out what the results will be from the people who are gathering all the pertinent information. And that's when I'll know what, more specifically, what answers are.
Our last question for today is, what do you think is the borough mayor's role in representing Kodiak's interests at the state level? Bill.
Well, they just had a meeting on the lobbyists, and I think that they're talking about not taking any trips to Juneau. But I think that the borough mayor's role is to be a lobbyist for the borough. I think the borough mayor's role is to keep in contact with our representatives, our senator, and try to get things passed that I think need to be passed in the state level, and stop things that I think the state level might hurt Kodiak. The mayor does not have any power to force the state to do anything. Actually, I don't think anybody does at this point. But to influence the state, to talk to other representatives, not only our own, but other representatives from small towns, and try to get them to put pressure on the state to do things like, fully fund the construction funds that they said they were going to do when we built the school. That would be one. To stop them from interfering maybe in things that might affect our fisheries. I noticed that there's a state law about how much beer a brewery can feed, which is directly affects one of our constituents, and I think it was kind of not necessary. So those kind of things, the mayor can try to put some pressure where it needs to be.
Sandra, your response?
Repeat the question, please.
What do you think is the borough mayor's role in representing Kodiak's interests at the state level?
At the state level, I believe that it is our influence to and our ability to write directly to our representatives. I think that we have the highest amount of influence possible when it comes to dealing with our representatives and our senators from the island. Unfortunately, I don't believe that we have enough representation for our island in that respect. We want people to represent us who are going to go, this is our island, this is what the people want, this is what the people need, how is the state going to help us do it? Unfortunately, I think a representative is more, this is the state of Alaska, and this is what the people of Alaska need. Well, I believe that our representative is strictly the representative of our island and should maintain that. And then I believe that the mayor, if there were a stepping stool, the mayor would have influence to and the ability to write to that representative and say, this is what's going on our island. This is what the people need. Here's how we're short in funding. Let's take a look at what we, you know, what infrastructure we need to replace or rebuild. Do we need harbors? Do we need electricity somewhere in our borough? I believe that this is part of the position to be of great influence to the representative, and the representative should go, okay, I represent this district, you're in that part, so, okay, here's what I can do.
Bill, do you have a follow-up?
That is something I disagree, that I think our representative has represented this island very well. I think the fact that the representative is on the outs with its own with our own party, and by the way, so is our senator at some point, because they represented the island and the needs of the island and the needs of the rural communities. So in that respect, I disagree. I think the only thing the mayor can do is to try to influence our representatives.
Sandra?
Exactly. I believe that we should be at the forefront of standing up for the people and saying, this is what we need, and how can you help us to be of great influence?
Well, that concludes our question segment of the forum, and we'll move ahead to closing statements. Bill, please go ahead with your closing statement.
My closing statement, the borough mayor is very limited in its powers. It has been purposely made that way. So all I can offer for the people if I become borough mayor is that I will put forth the best ideas to help the community of Kodiak. I will try to run an orderly meeting. I will try that word that kept coming back and back again, respect. I will try to get respect for the assembly, for itself, for the community, for the workers of the borough. And I believe that tolerance is very, very important. In this day and age, we are becoming more and more intolerant. We have to become tolerant. I read something a little bit ago about listening. How do you listen to somebody? There's two ways. You listen so that you can answer. It's like you're having a debate and you have to defend your own position. Or you can listen so that you understand what that person's saying. And then you can try to work with that person to get a reasonable solution. I think that as all members of the borough government, the mayor and all the assembly, we have to learn to listen so that we understand what the other side is saying so that we can try to reach a compromise. Compromise is something that is becoming harder and harder for people to do. And it's how this nation was started, at least if I believe my sixth grade, I don't even know what they called it back then, citizens education, I think is what we called it. This nation was founded on compromise, and we don't get anywhere if we don't compromise, because there are too many differing opinions. And when you're elected, whether it be the assembly, the mayor, school board, you represent everybody.
Thank you. Sandra, your closing statement.
Yes. I'd just like to say that, I'd like to say thank you to KMXT for offering this. It was an excellent opportunity. And I hope that your funding has not gone so awry that you don't continue this organization. Our business tries to help KMXT. We do advertising with KMXT once a year. So really thank you for this. And I have to agree with Bill when he said that we have to work together. I feel that the mayor's position is one of more guidance, and I believe that I have the education and the expertise. I may not agree with Bill on some of the things that he's said, but we're not supposed to agree on everything, and that's the way it'll be when you're mayor. So you have to be able to work with people, you have to be able to work with your employees, you have to be able to work in a roundabout way to where we're not trying to satisfy everything, but we're trying to make it all workable. And we want to do that with respect and compassion, and we want to reach out to find different ways to make this community grow, not to increase taxes, but as a way to collect more. There is a difference. So we want to look at economic growth. We want to look at consolidation. To me, it's a big thing. Everything should be on hold right now as far as being of a guidance source for the community, because what if? And that's a big question. So in the end, I'd just like to say thank you. Thank you, Bill, for this opportunity to talk with you. I respectfully ask for your vote on October 1st, and I look forward to serving as your borough mayor for 3 years. My candidate profile will be in print in the Kodiak Daily Mirror, and I hope that the people will take an opportunity to read that, because it has a lot more answers there than I feel that I've been able to give here. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks. That concludes the Borough Mayor Candidate Forum. Thank you, Sandra and Bill, for being here, and thanks for tuning in. Election Day is Tuesday, October 1st.